Hello. Ah, now that I've got your attention, I'd like a quick word about how Cambridge 105 Radio is funded. Our job is to give a voice to those groups who may not otherwise be heard. That may be our support for local music or the charity of the month. You're wanting to know how you can help, aren't you? Well, you can support our advertisers. And when you use their services, say you heard about them on Cambridge 105 Radio. And you can make a donation. It all goes towards our upkeep. We're eco-friendly, but we do have a bit of an electricity bill. Visit cambridge105.co.uk and click on the donate button. And thank you for listening.
I'm joined by Jeff Heathcock, who is, well, what can I say? I've known you for years, Jeff, but
yes.
And I've always known that you're a proud supporter of the RNLI.
Indeed. My 47th year.
My goodness.
As a volunteer. So it's doesn't seem that long, but when I look back, I think, well, yes, a few things have changed.
That's quite scary, isn't it? Where's the time gone?
Goodness knows. Goes too fast. Goes too fast.
So, obviously, we're a coastal country. Mm. You're originally from the West Country.
Indeed, Cornwall.
So, naturally, drawn to the sea.
Yeah.
So, is that where your interest in the RNLI has sort of come from?
Coupled up with the fact that very early on, in fact, just before I left school, actually, I discovered that I had a, I suppose you'd be a great, great uncle. We won't worry about too many greats, but certainly quite a way back, was a crewman in one of the last sailing lifeboats in Cornwall. And a station, sadly, which closed between the two wars.
Where was it located?
Polcaris, which is just around the corner from Foy. Mm-hmm. Everybody who loves and reads Daphne du Maurier
will
know that part of the world. Closed in 1922, so quite a way back. But that sold lots of questions, in terms of, well, why hadn't we heard about him before? But also because living in Cornwall, yes, you're surrounded by water on three sides. And it's a county which still has the most lifeboat stations per county of all the English counties, which of itself is quite remarkable because of these stations come, stations go, new ones are opened. And then, of course, you think about things like Torrey Canyon, and all the things that have gone on over the years off Cornwall. And, of course, more recently, sadly, the loss of the Penlee lifeboat in 1981 still sticks very much not only in our memory, but also, of course, in the memory and indeed the folklore, whatever you like to call it, in and around Cornwall. So, yes, very much sown by perhaps some very early seeds and not some obvious seeds in some respects. And then in 1971, the RNLI were actually looking to form a branch of the service in what was then my hometown at Liskard in East Cornwall. And something I didn't learn until very much later on in life, as you and I will both share through our life with the County Council, if you don't want to be given a job, you don't sit in the first couple of rows of a public meeting. Well, of course, I made the fatal mistake.
You didn't sit at the back.
I didn't sit at the back, and I didn't creep out halfway through. And the chairman of the meeting said, I think you're the man I've been looking for as my secretary.
There's not a lot you can do about that, is there?
I was in. And mind you, I've never looked back. I've enjoyed it. I mean, if I hadn't enjoyed it, I wouldn't have packed it up a long time ago.
But the most amazing thing about the RNLI, correct me if I'm wrong, is I don't think they receive any government funding at all, do they?
Absolutely none. We had the princely sum of £5,000 a year in 1854 to 1859. But as we all understand, if a government gets involved in funding, it comes with all sorts of problems, whatever colour government. So I'm being absolutely neutral. So we've always taken the view, although we've had one or two scary moments, certainly in the 60s and the 70s, when the finance people looked around and said, things are looking a little bit dicky, boys and girls. You're going to have to go out there and get some more money in. We have had those odd moments, but by and large, we've been very, very fortunate that alongside all the other charities, and we know there are thousands and thousands of them all out there trying to do their job, we still manage to attract significant sums of money, and interestingly, not necessarily from our, what you might call our customer base, you know, the people who go out on the water and sometimes get themselves into a muddle because they haven't prepared particularly well. I mean, those who have an accident, well, that's fair enough. That's what we're there for. So it's not as if we've got a ready supply of money coming in. Every time we go out, say to somebody, well, that'll be £200, you know, what sort of card right might you give us? We've never got involved in that, and I hope to goodness we never will. But it does put pressure on, particularly folk like us inland, not only to keep the flag flying, but to make sure that we have got people's awareness and that money is being constantly raised.
Because you're effectively, you're an emergency service.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people inland give to the RNLI because they just admire the people that volunteer to go out. I mean, basically, they're putting their lives on the line going out in some of those seas
absolutely.
To rescue people.
And, of course, there are circumstances, mercifully not many, but there are circumstances during the course of the year where some of them will be going out in conditions which any right-thinking person might actually say,
absolutely.
No, I'll stay under the duvet.
Yes.
And, of course, they don't know who their customer is. Yeah. It's not as if you're going out to somebody who you go fishing with and say, oh, Fred's in a bit of bother, I'll go out and help him out. And there will be the occasions, say, touch wood, we've not had a significant accident now for nearly 40 years, and long may that continue. But by the nature of the animal, there is always risk there.
Yes.
And particularly in the winter months, not so much this time of year, thank goodness, there's always the potential, particularly off the Orkneys, the Shetlands, large chunks of Ireland in particular, where if a call comes in, is what we often call a dirty call, which means both it's going to last potentially a long time and danger is your ever-present companion.
Absolutely.
With the possibility, but we hope always with a very small p, that they might not make it home.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, it's a risky old job.
They have our admiration. Now, you have, I believe, close links with the Cromer lifeboat, is that the...?
Wells is the one that we've been working with for the last 5 years because they've reached the point where they need new generation boathouse. And we've been very fortunate that in company with lots of other organisations around not only the region, but in fact the country, not least with one of the very old now organisations, the Post Office and Civil Service Fund, towards finding the money for the new boat, which if I very quickly say is 2.2 million, I mean, it doesn't sound a lot, does it, until you've got to find the money. Then a new station, because the current station was rebuilt in 1903, so a bit like some of the rest of us, getting past
creaking.
Our best.
It's creaking a little bit.
Creaking a little bit. And we've had to find that money both for the infrastructure and for a new boat and all its kit. And this has been repeated currently around quite a few parts of the country as we reach a point in time where part of our fleet is now getting a little bit elderly. I mean, still able to do the job, but like everything, technology moves on, speed moves
on. You need to renew.
And what we're at, certainly in the next 10 years particularly, is to finish the job of enhancing and replacing some of the older members of the fleet with vessels that are easier to launch, quicker to respond, and quicker to get to the potential customer, which is a win-win for everybody, but it comes at a significant cost.
I mean, as you say, it's easy, you know, when you go to the seaside. I mean, I went down to Sidmouth and they've got a lovely lifeboat station there. Obviously been to Cromer. It's easy to go there and give your money, but more inland, it's not so obvious. So what is the RNLI doing to raise money and how can people get involved?
Well, basically inland, as I often say when I do presentations to different groups, the people that we need to reach are the people who are the once or twice a year seaside goers, because they're the ones invariably who potentially are at greater risk because they don't understand the potential of currents, tides, what might be underneath the tide. There's a whole list of them. When you're on the coast, you see these orange boats going up and down, and you're only too aware of their presence and what they're doing. When you're inland, and in our case, what, 70 miles as the crow flies from Hunstanton, it's not so obvious. And when you're stood at a stall in Ely, or as we were yesterday at Morrison's at Camborne, there will be a percentage of people who say, well, why are you involved here? Well, we're trying to reach the people who might yet be the people that we need to help.
Yes, quite.
But equally, in Cambridge, we're at a stage in time where we're down to a very small handful of us. None of us are getting any younger. so it's we're starting to find it a little bit more difficult to keep going, to get out there, to do the things that we want to do, to reach people, to go to steam rallies, all the sort of.
So if people are interested in volunteering, how can they get in contact with you?
Come to me by email, by phone, or snail mail, the old favourites. I've got all the relevant contact numbers.
Which we'll put on our website.
And it need not be, because some people immediately think, oh, God, it means I'll need to be involved every week.
Yeah.
No. What I am very definitely saying is I would rather have another five or six people who can say, look, if you're stuck, give me a ring, or I can give you a couple hours every other month, particularly the summer months, not so much in the winter months, because like lots of organisations, things calm down a bit.
Yeah.
But in the summer months, when we're out at as many public events as we can reach to actually wave the flag, that's when we need people. So it need only be two, maybe three times across the whole length of the summer to say, look, I've got a car, I've got a van, I've got a couple hours, what can I do for you? And that would be marvellous.
Brilliant. Well, the time is just... You said you've been in the RNLI for over 47 years. The time has just flown here as well.
Disappears.
Our 10 minutes is up. But no, they do a wonderful job, the RNLI. And thank you, Jeff, for coming in to talk about them.
Pleasure.
We'll put all the information on our website. And I really urge people, you know, if you're on holiday, go and visit a lifeboat station.
Yeah.
Give some money. Because it's not till you go there and actually see the vehicle and then see sort of the history. Because a lot of the stations have their history of the station on there.
Yeah.
What these people, these volunteers do, it's absolutely amazing.
And some of these stations are now 200...
Exactly.
Approaching 200 years old. So it means an awful lot of work gone on. And indeed, still goes on.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Jeff.
Pleasure.